Welcome to your AQA A-Level Physical Education Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving deep into one of the most important topics in the entire specification, energy systems. This is topic 1.4, and it comes up in almost every exam paper in some form. Whether it's a 2-mark identify question or a 9-mark extended response, you need to know this inside out. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Let's begin with the absolute foundation. Why do we even need energy systems? The answer comes down to one molecule, ATP, or adenosine triphosphate. ATP is the only usable form of energy for muscle contraction. Your muscles cannot directly use the energy from food. Instead, food energy must be converted into ATP first. The problem is that your body only stores a tiny amount of ATP, enough for about 2 seconds of maximal exercise. So your body must constantly resynthesize ATP, and that's exactly what the three energy systems do. Here's the key concept that examiners absolutely love to test. The three energy systems work concurrently. That means at the same time, not sequentially. This is called the energy continuum. At any given moment during exercise, all three systems are contributing to ATP resynthesis. What changes is the dominant system, based on the intensity and duration of the activity. Write that down. Concurrent, not sequential. Candidates who say the systems switch on and off will lose marks every single time. Now let's look at each system in detail. The first system is the ATPC system, also called the phosphocreatine system or the lactic anaerobic system. This is your explosive, immediate energy system. It dominates during high-intensity activities lasting 0 to approximately 10 seconds. Think a 100-meter sprint, a weightlifting clean and jerk, or a netball jump shot. Here's how it works. Your muscle cells store a compound called phosphocreatine, or PC. The enzyme creatine kinase breaks down PC into creatine and inorganic phosphate, releasing energy. That energy is used to reattach a phosphate group to ADP, regenerating ATP. The chemical equation is PC breaks down to creatine plus inorganic phosphate plus energy, and then ADP plus inorganic phosphate plus energy gives you ATP. The key facts to memorize. The site of reaction is the sarcoplasm. That's the cytoplasm of the muscle cell. The rate-limiting enzyme is creatine kinase. ATP yield is approximately 1 ATP per PC molecule, so it's very low yield. But the rate of resynthesis is extremely fast, which is why it dominates in explosive activities. And crucially, it requires no oxygen. It is anaerobic. PC stores are depleted in approximately 10 seconds, and they take around 2 to 3 minutes to fully replenish during recovery. The second system is the glycolytic system, also called the lactic acid system or fast glycolysis. The system dominates during high to moderate intensity activities lasting approximately 10 seconds to 3 minutes. Think a 400-meter run, an 800-meter swim, or repeated sprint efforts in a team sport like rugby. Here's the process. Glucose, either from the blood or from stored glycogen in the muscle, is broken down through a series of chemical reactions called glycolysis. Glucose is converted into pyruvate through 10 enzymatic steps. The rate-limiting enzyme here is phosphofructokinase, or PFK. When oxygen is insufficient, which happens during high-intensity exercise, pyruvate is converted into lactate. This is fast glycolysis. Key facts: the site of reaction is again the sarcoplasm. The rate-limiting enzyme is phosphofructokinase. The net ATP yield is 2 ATP per glucose molecule. This is a critical number. Examiners specifically test whether candidates know the NET yield is 2, not the gross yield. It's anaerobic, and the byproduct is lactate, which dissociates to form lactic acid, releasing hydrogen ions. Now here's where it gets really important for exam marks. Those hydrogen ions lower the pH of the muscle cell, which inhibits enzyme activity and interferes with the actin-myosin cross-bridge cycling that causes muscle contraction. This is what we call neuromuscular fatigue. The point at which lactate begins to accumulate rapidly in the blood is called obla, the onset of blood lactate accumulation, and it typically occurs at around 4 millimoles per liter of blood lactate. Above obla, fatigue sets in rapidly. Do not use vague terms like the muscles get tired. Always say, increased lactate production lowers pH, inhibiting enzyme activity and causing neuromuscular fatigue. The third system is the aerobic system, also called the oxidative system. This dominates during low to moderate intensity activities lasting more than approximately 3 minutes. Marathon running, long distance cycling, triathlon, or the sustained aerobic base of any endurance sport. The aerobic system has three stages. Stage 1 is glycolysis, which happens in the sarcoplasm, same as the glycolytic system. Glucose is broken down to pyruvate, yielding 2 ATP. But now, because oxygen is available, pyruvate is not converted to lactate. Instead, it enters the mitochondria. Stage 2 is the Krebs cycle, which takes place in the matrix of the mitochondria. Pyruvate is converted to acetyl coenzyme A, which enters the Krebs cycle. This produces carbon dioxide as a waste product, and importantly, it produces hydrogen carriers, NADH and FADH2, which carry hydrogen atoms to the next stage. The Krebs cycle yields 2 ATP per glucose molecule. Stage 3 is the electron transport chain, which takes place on the cristae, the inner membrane folds, of the mitochondria. The hydrogen carriers release their hydrogen atoms, which are split into hydrogen ions and electrons. The electrons pass down the chain, releasing energy to produce ATP. Oxygen acts as the final electron acceptor, combining with hydrogen to form water. This stage produces approximately 34 ATP, making the total aerobic yield 36 to 38 ATP per glucose molecule. The aerobic system can also use fats as a fuel source through a process called beta oxidation. The rate-limiting enzyme for fat breakdown is lipase. Fat yields significantly more ATP per molecule than glucose, around 129 ATP from one triglyceride, but the rate of ATP resynthesis is much slower, which is why fat is only a dominant fuel at low intensities. Key facts to memorize. The sites of reaction are the sarcoplasm for glycolysis, the mitochondrial matrix for the Krebs cycle, and the mitochondrial cristae for the electron transport chain. ATP yield is 36 to 38 ATP. It requires oxygen. It is the most efficient system, but the slowest to respond to sudden increases in intensity. Now let's talk about EPOC, excess post-exercise oxygen consumption. This is the elevated oxygen consumption that continues after exercise has stopped. You may also see it called the oxygen debt. EPOC has two components. The fast component, also called the lactated component, lasts approximately 2 to 3 minutes. During this phase, elevated oxygen consumption is used to restore PC stores in the muscles and to resaturate myoglobin, the oxygen-storing protein in muscle, with oxygen. The slow component, also called the lactated component, can last up to an hour or more. During this phase, oxygen is used to remove lactate, either by converting it back to glucose in the liver through gluconeogenesis, oxidizing it as a fuel in the Krebs cycle, or converting it to glycogen. This phase also covers the restoration of glycogen stores, the normalization of body temperature, and the restoration of hormonal balance. For intermittent sports like netball, rugby, or football, EPOC and PC replenishment are particularly important. During low-intensity recovery periods, walking, jogging, the aerobic system dominates, and PC stores are actively replenished. This is why interval training is so effective for these sports. It trains the body to replenish PC stores more quickly. Now let's move on to exam tips and common mistakes. These are the things that will make the difference between a B and an A star. Common mistake number one, saying energy systems work sequentially. Always say they work concurrently, with one being dominant based on intensity and duration. Use the phrase, the energy continuum, to show examiner-level understanding. Common mistake number two, confusing ATP yields. The glycolytic system yields 2 ATP net. The aerobic system yields 36 to 38 ATP. These numbers will be tested directly. Learn them. Common mistake number three, using vague language. The muscles get tired scores 0 marks. Increased lactate production lowers intramuscular pH, inhibiting phosphofructokinase activity and disrupting actin-myosin cross-bridge cycling, leading to neuromuscular fatigue scores full marks. Common mistake number four, failing to apply knowledge to the specific scenario. If the question asks about a netball player, you must talk about the specific actions in netball. Explosive sprints using ATPC, repeated efforts using the glycolytic system, and recovery periods allowing PC replenishment. Generic answers about exercise will not be credited for AO2 marks. Exam tip number one, always identify the dominant system first, then explain why, then link to the specific sport or activity described. This structure guarantees AO1 and AO2 marks. Exam tip number two, for 6 or 9 mark questions, use the threshold concepts. Explain the transition between systems using VO2 max and lactate threshold. At intensities below the lactate threshold, the aerobic system dominates. Above the lactate threshold, the glycolytic system contributes increasingly. At near maximal intensities, the ATPC system is dominant. Exam tip number 3, memorize the sites of reaction. Sarcoplasm for both anaerobic systems, mitochondrial matrix for the Krebs cycle, mitochondrial cristae for the electron transport chain. These are frequently tested in short answer questions. Exam tip number 4, for questions about recovery, always distinguish between the fast and slow components of EPOC and give approximate timings. PC stores are replenished in approximately 2 to 3 minutes is a mark-worthy statement. Now for our quick-fire recall quiz, pause the audio after each question and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1. What is the rate-limiting enzyme of the ATPC system? The answer is creatine kinase. Question 2. What is the net ATP yield of the glycolytic system? The answer is 2 ATP. Question 3. Where does the Krebs cycle take place? The answer is the matrix of the mitochondria. Question 4. What does OBLA stand for, and at what blood lactate concentration does it typically occur? The answer is onset of blood lactate accumulation at approximately 4 millimoles per liter. Question 5. What are the two components of EPOC and their approximate durations? The fast lactacid component lasts 2 to 3 minutes and restores PC stores. The slow lactacid component lasts up to an hour and removes lactate and replenishes glycogen. Question 6. What is the total ATP yield of the aerobic system? 36 to 38 ATP. Question 7. Which enzyme is the rate limiter of the glycolytic system? Phosphofructokinase or PFK. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and re-listen to that section before your exam. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of everything we've covered today. The three energy systems, ATPC, glycolytic, and aerobic, all work concurrently, forming the energy continuum. The dominant system is determined by the intensity and duration of exercise. ATPC dominates from 0 to 10 seconds at maximal intensity using creatine kinase to break down phosphocreatine in the sarcoplasm, yielding 2 to 3 ATP. The glycolytic system dominates from 10 seconds to 3 minutes at high intensity using phosphofructokinase to break down glucose in the sarcoplasm, yielding 2 ATP net and producing lactate. The aerobic system dominates beyond 3 minutes at moderate to low intensity, using glycolysis in the sarcoplasm, the Krebs cycle in the mitochondrial matrix, and the electron transport chain on the mitochondrial cristae, yielding 36 to 38 ATP. Recovery involves EPOC with a fast lactacid component restoring PC stores in 2 to 3 minutes and a slow lactacid component removing lactate and replenishing glycogen over up to an hour. Always use precise physiological language, apply your knowledge to the specific scenario in the question, and remember, the systems work concurrently, not sequentially. Good luck in your exam. You've got this. See you in the next episode.